Hi, and welcome to episode 345 of No Crying in Baseball, the Polarizing Condiments episode. My name's Patty. I'm here with my friend Potty Mouth. Hey, Potty Mouth.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
I am very familiar with polarizing condiments.
Are you?
Yes, it is definitely a topic often in the Potty Mouth household. We have very differences of opinion about condiments, so I'm curious as to...
I'm just guessing those come up in the context of actual meals.
Yes, yes, they do.
See, this one came up in the context of a spring training game.
Oh, excellent.
And, you know, to prep for our whole, you know, Baltimore and Atlanta boyfriends episode today, I watched the Baltimore versus Atlanta spring training game yesterday.
Very convenient and of it was them the, to schedule that for
wasn't
us.
Wasn't that nice? And it was the Atlanta feed, okay, which I always kind of enjoy listening to, you know, people who aren't less familiar with the teams that I follow talk about them, see what they find interesting.
Ooh.
So Coby Mayo comes up to bat, and instead of talking about his very good spring training that he's having, they said, look at each other saying, you know, I just feel like mayonnaise is the most polarizing of condiments. And they go off on in all the ways that it's polarizing. Mm-hmm. And if that wasn't enough, he comes back up for another at bat innings later, and they pick up that conversation as if they never stopped.
And they go back to the mayonnaise.
Yes. Yes.
That's, I even though it was highly inappropriate, I think they're 100% right, because that is definitely the polarizing condiment here in the Potty Mouth household.
Yeah. And so are you pro or con?
I am pro mayo.
I'm also pro Coby Mayo, but that's okay. Yeah.
Actually, he does seem like a very nice guy, and I know he hits the ball very far.
Yes.
But our friend from Ecuador, when he comes to visit, like, it's all about the mayo. Ecuadorian cuisine has lots and lots of mayo. So mayo goes on everything. And Mr. Potty Mouth gets a little bit skeeved out, I think, by
the quantity of mayo.
It's eggs.
It's eggs. It's eggs and oil.
Yeah, I think.
But I've got no explanation for that.
Right.
Does he eat eggs?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I got nothing.
No.
Then he's just wrong.
It's just a thing. I don't know. It's just an image of what it is. Yeah. So
I was prepared to be generous about that opinion, but I'm just shutting that right down. That's just not okay.
Yeah. So if anybody wants a good Ecuadorian beet salad recipe, hit me up. Beets and mayonnaise, and it turns a lovely shade of pink.
Sure.
So, you know, for those of you on that side of the polar spectrum. So I'm very, very far away from the polar climate is Dominican Republic. Isn't that a good segue?
Beautiful. So. You are smooth. You're smooth as a mayo.
So
I want to say emulsified as far as how smooth you are.
Yes.
That's a well-beaten.
So the Dominican series happened this weekend, which was super fun for me because I love the Red Sox and they won both games. So yay. But there were also just so many cool things around what was happening. And it's the beginning of all these international series, right, that are going to be happening this year. Korea's coming up for the Padres and Giants, pretty soon. But this was a spring training game. So it kind of, like, took me a minute to click that in, that they're playing it like a spring training game, you know, not like an exhibition game in another country. They're switching pitchers and I don't know who's on the field at the end of the game and things like that. But still, fun to watch the Red Sox win and fun to watch. I mean, the Red Sox are big in the DR, you can imagine now, even though, you know, back in the day, pre-2000, it was probably a Yankees thing. But with Big Papi and Pedro, who are just like the most wonderful. I'm a Red Sox fan, so it's a little bit gushy for me. But they're lovely human beings. They both really give back to the community. And so there were little spotlights on how, you know, Big Papi has a fucking hospital right in the middle of Santo Domingo. And he spoke about how he put it there so it would help the people who really needed it. And it was, And Pedro's there building houses. And they had the Lindo Sueños kids. A little blurb about them, and we had talked about them before. It was like this exchange from 10 kids from New England come down to the DR and build a house and play baseball with kids from the DR. Super sweet. And a lot of the players playing with these kids, the DR kids, that game where you throw the bottle cap, like the classic one, to see the big baseball players, like with the stick and the little bottle cap. And I think some kids struck out Randy Arozarena. So that's going to be like, highlight for his life. But the highlight for me, like there's so much more I could babble about this, but yeah, we have a show to do. But seeing Juan Luis Guerra in a Red Sox jersey. So he is a musician beloved by Mr. Potty Mouth and I. So there's a thing out in our living room, a little heart with the lyrics to a song in Spanish. It's a Juan Luis Guerra song. Oh. So this, it felt like just so cosmic. I had no clue. I mean, he's Dominican, but I didn't know he had any connection to the Red Sox or Big Papi, but he was there in a Red Sox jersey chatting with Alex Cora, and just made me happy. Yeah. So I'm feeling a little bit better about baseball right now than I have been maybe in the past, oh, several episodes.
That's excellent. That's what I want to hear, given that we're just a couple weeks away from, you know, the opening day situation.
The opening day situation.
On today's show, we've got a home for Joey. We've got pitchers in, out, and really out. We've got armadillo architecture. We've got boyfriends on Baltimore and Atlanta baseball teams. We've got international baseball. We've got the spring breakout. And we've got women in Road to the Show. Cheers. Hey, we're drinking something delicious that we need to refill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So you did catch up. That was, I guess I talked a lot about the Dominican Republic.
That always allows me to catch up.
I was like, going to just say a few things. And
yeah,
then
so we're drinking from Peabody Heights in Baltimore, the Oriole Park Bohemian. Peabody Heights, the brewery, is on the site of the old Orioles ballpark. So this is kind of fun for us. It's very thematic.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour while you talk.
All right. So we will get to the Orioles very soon. And I definitely wanted to commemorate that but with our beverage of the day. But first, I just want to say that I'm really, really happy for Joey Votto because he will continue to bang, hopefully, this season. I had picked him as my baseball boyfriend in our very first season way back in 2018 when he was clearly on the Reds because that's where he was for many years. And they didn't renew him after the end of his long contract last year. And he was 39 years old, 40 now. And it was just super sad because he had wanted to be a Red for life. And he was an amazing player. You know, six-time All-Star, MVP in 2010, 294 career average so far with a 920 OPS over 17 years. And you would think, and this is like the nostalgia in me as opposed to the business in me, you know? Is there any business in me? I don't think there's any
business. There's a little bit of business in you.
Maybe a little bit of business.
You can give people the business.
That part I could do. However, the Reds, you know, were being all business, and they let this. I just felt like you can't do that. But they did. And he had a series of social media posts over the winter, especially recently, that were just sad. There was one of him going through a car wash saying, this isn't spring training, and then missing you on the bench. And then he threatened to not put away his shopping cart if he didn't get signed. Just a lot of random
shit. That'll show him.
Yeah, he is funny. I didn't know, actually. Just as I was doing a little bit of Votto research, learned that he's been taking comedy, like sketch comedy classes.
Did this come out of his like star turn in the theater thing that he did in Cincinnati?
I forgot about that.
I listened to you when you talk.
Especially
when you don't talk about the Red Sox. That'd be a lot of attention.
There we go. That was like that off mic thing that they had recorded of him.
Yeah.
I wonder. I don't know. Maybe he just got the show bug from there.
Sure.
So he is doing lots of cool things. He is smart. He is funny. And he is kind. He's done so much giving over the years, so much mentoring of the youngins. And he now has a minor league deal with his hometown team, Toronto, with a spring training invite. And he's damn determined to use that opportunity. And I really, really hope it works out and he makes the team. There was actually a post today that he posted a baby picture, like the cute, like chubby cheek Joey with a bib of a Blue Jays bib. So like for that to come around is absolutely amazing.
Does he have to wear that as part of the minor league uniform?
I wonder, you know how they do that like rookie, hazing, yeah, where they have to like wear their uniforms and go to Starbucks or something like that. Maybe he can wear his bib even though he's not a rookie, but you know, first year
on the team.
There we go.
Sure, he's a newbie. Maybe not a rookie, but a newbie.
Yeah, the oldest newbie that there is probably. His debut with the Reds is 2007, first full season 2008. So at this point, he is now, and this is why it's really important for him to make the team. He is the second in all-time hits for a Canadian-born MLB player. He has 2,135, and he is only 25 hits away from Larry Walker's 2,160. So if he gets to play just a little bit, 25 hits, I mean, that's super doable for the season. Also, I think it's pretty clear that he's going to be Hall of Fame bound, hopefully joining only two other Canadians. I was really surprised at that because I've always been surprised at like five Dominicans, I think, and I don't remember the number for Venezuela, but only two Canadians.
I think there's more competition for hockey.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. For sure.
That's what I think.
So Walker and Fergie Jenkins. So, you know, he was so stellar for so long. And I think when somebody is so good that long, the downturn is especially hard. And in 2020, which was a shitty year for everybody, but it was like the beginning of Vado's struggles. And he was benched for the first time in his career. And it pissed him off. So he, because the smart guy he is, he studied and he tried to figure out, what do I got to do to turn this around? And realizing he's getting older, he focused on hitting home runs. And he studied like video and different styles. And the next year he banged. And that's where the Joey Bangs t-shirt and stuff, what is it? The Breaking Tees probably has it. He ended up with a 36 home run season in 21. And his career high at the beginning of the season was 37. So he's right back up there. Unfortunately, 22, he was injured a lot. And that just started a dip. And 23, he played half the season, his lowest career average ever, which is, you know, what went by the Reds' decision. But he wants to keep playing. And the one thing that I saw that was heart-wrenching, when he was a teenager and he was playing ball with his dad, you know, that just, you know, playing catch and you're going to be a major league player someday kind of thing, his dad said to him, I feel great, you can play into your 40s, because his dad was in his early 40s at the time. So Votto's first season was 2008, and that was the year that his dad died at age 52. So I think there's a lot of, I've got to make this playing into my 40s happen, because, and Joey Votto also is one of the very first players who championed mental health and taking a break and being very honest about getting mental health support after this traumatic experience for him. So I really hope that he's got that energy to do it. Because that's just a heart-wrenching situation. Also, right now, he is the leader in MLB as active player with most hits. However, Freddie Freeman is at his heels, 21 hits behind. So he's got to stay within that 21 hit, which is going to be tough, because last year Freddie had 211 hits.
Well, also, and Freddie's starting lineup, and Joey's got to, you know, if he might be designated hitter, he might be, you know, whatever. He may not have as many opportunities.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be nice if he could break a record real soon so he could be in the record books.
Right.
Because Freddie's a lot younger and has got a lot more playing years. So that's, he's going to overtake him eventually, but it would be nice for him to have that moment.
Right. Right. Yep. It'll happen. We'll see.
Another former boyfriend of yours.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Bad boy. Josh Donaldson, who was your boyfriend for Toronto in 2018. Back to Toronto.
Oh, wow.
Here we go.
And back to 2018.
Just announced his retirement at age 38. Mm. He was not the face of a franchise for you know, a decade.
Right.
He played for five or six different teams, but he was the MVP in 2015. He's a three-time All-Star, a 13-year career. He's ending his career with 279 home runs and 816 runs batted in.
Not bad.
And all kinds of things that he said that he shouldn't.
Oh, no.
So, you know, he's got a long list of that. He doesn't have the same reputation as Joey Votto, but he definitely is rocking the whole bad boy situation.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's no notes in the announcements of his retirement that he's going to go, like, coach kids, or he's going to go do this thing. I think he's just getting out. He's going to have a good old time.
All right.
That's my guess for bad boy Josh.
Anything specific he said that was bad boyish? Like, can you remember?
We've talked about it. He's got in trouble with Yankee fans, surprising no one. He's said a couple things to Tim Anderson that I guess people do, but it was not good. He's had his moments. He does not have a filter.
All right.
And he's he's like, fine, I don't have a filter. He's not trying to have a filter. So he's, you know, his authentic self, and his authentic self is just way out there. It's just, hi, this is me, take it or leave it. And I think he's like, okay, I'm done.
Can't imagine why I would have picked somebody like that.
So a bad boy? Yeah, that's shocking to me, too.
Not my type at
all. Shocking to me, too.
So they're not all bad boys. I picked Mookie Betts, who was my forever boyfriend for a short amount of time. But, you know, he went to L.A. and broke my heart. And he was an outfielder at that time. And then last year that L.A. started playing him at second? And I was like, boy, this is a weird thing. And he came up as an infielder, actually. A shortstop, I think, was his first and wanted position, as is so many people. And he's going to be shortstop again. So they just announced this weekend, I think, that they are moving him from second to short. Gavin Lux, another former baseball boyfriend pick of mine from the Dodgers, is coming back this year. He had his ACL tear last year. And he was going to be shortstop, but apparently his healing there, Dave Roberts is just concerned enough to bump him back to second, which is where he was before, and to put Mookie at short. And he's saying that is, quote, permanent for now, which is kind of how we look at our forever baseball boyfriends.
You know, forever until it changes.
Yeah. Permanent for now. I think we should use that. What pisses me off, though, do you play the MLB app game Pickle?
I have played Pickle, yes.
So this is my morning routine. I swear to God, every day I get up, I play Pickle first because that gives me a little bit of a review of player names and teams before I go to the grid. But I do Pickle first. Then I do the numbers one where you do higher, lower. And that also gives me a lot of names. And then I go to Immaculate Grid. And
oh, it's definitely... I like how you step it right. up. That's right. You prepare yourself for the grid, which is the ultimate.
Yep. So part of the Pickle, though, is the position.
Yeah. Oh, they're not. They are also not quick on when guys get traded.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, he's not there anymore. No, he's not there anymore.
Right. And that fucks up your Pickle because you're betting.
I hate it when things fuck up your Pickle.
Right. I do too. So Mookie Betts on the Pickle is still on right field. I'm like, fix
probably,
the Pickle.
They're probably not going to change it until the season starts, though.
All right.
So stop trying to use him now.
As a short. It's going to just confuse me.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of Dodgers guys who can play lots of positions, I guess I have a type. Kike is making a comeback. So Kike, you'll remember I was super, super happy that he was on the Red Sox, and then he started really struggling the past couple seasons, and it was very hard because I really wanted them to play Kike, and he wasn't doing well. And then sometime last season, it was toward the end, I think, before he got traded over to the Dodgers, that they found out that he had a hernia. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, it was the beginning of last season. I wish I'd done a little bit of research. And they did what they had to do. I don't know if it was like a minor surgery. He came back. But turns out that he actually had two.
Oh.
And
oh, no.
The Dodgers doctor found it, and the Red Sox doctor apparently didn't, because when it went over the Dodgers. So Kike said, Dr. Myers was like, yeah, these hernias don't really show up in the MRI. So what kept happening when he was on the Red Sox, he'd feel like shit. They'd send him for an MRI. The MRI would say he's clear. He'd come home and be like, I'm going crazy because I feel like shit, yet they keep telling me that I'm fine. And he said he wouldn't have gotten through it without his wife, who is amazing. She is so cool. And a mental skills coach. And he just kind of gritted out this like shitty Yikes. Pain and played through it. But I'm expecting him to do wonderful things this year because he's going to be a fully functioning Kike.
Those are the best kind of Kikes.
Yes.
So also on the spring training game that I watched yesterday, the Baltimore Atlanta one of the see Mayo above, Chris Sale started for Atlanta. Don't worry, he was terrible.
Oh,
I was
good.
Like,
really?
I thought, okay, Potty Mouth's gonna like this.
That's
because he's
so
terrible.
Cool.
He was also terrible in that reacting badly to things.
Yes.
He had a ball charged to him for a pitch clock violation before he threw a pitch.
Really?
He was not happy. He was not happy. He was really unhappy about a lot of things, and he gave up, you know, three runs in an inning. It was sort of, you know, I've never been a fan, so it was fun for me to watch. And I thought, oh, good, Potty Mouth, I can be on the same side of the Chris Sale conversation because now he pitches for Atlanta. But the reason I'm talking about that is because Angel Hernandez is the star of our police blotter today because the Mayo guys, the condiment guys, when this was happening to Chris Sale, said, did you see what happened to Lance Lynn? I'm like, oh, I should check what happened to Lance Lynn. On Friday, Lance Lynn had his first start in spring training for the Cardinals against the Nationals. And in the third inning, I guess the Cardinals dugout was chirping at Angel, as Cardinals chirp, as well as everyone does against Angel because he's bad at his job.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was so, like, you know, the umpire is, like, you know, chirping right back. And then Lance Lynn can't let this go. And says to, while he's at the pitcher's mound, says to Angel Hernandez, they know it was a strike, which is, you know, okay, you know, red flag to bull, right? And so at that point, Hernandez is like waving him on, like, come on, you can throw your pitch. And Lance Lynn again says, I've got 5 seconds left on the pitch clock. I can take my time. And then throws a strike and says, that's a strike. And Angel's like, yeah, you're out of here. And tosses him.
That's so good, though.
And tosses him. You know, okay, spring training, it doesn't matter. So Lance Lynn was meant to pitch 3 innings. So he didn't finish his outing. So he goes to the bullpen to throw a few more pitches just so he gets the workout that he anticipated.
Right.
And Angel Hernandez said, no, you've been tossed from the game. You cannot do that. You're out.
Wow.
Yeah, threw him out of the bullpen, too, in a spring training game, because that's important, you see.
So could he, like, go throw balls outside of the ballpark?
Yes.
Like, go find a catcher? And
yes, yeah, he could go play in the parking lot, but he can't be, you know, playing on, you know. Oh, my God. So the manager also got tossed because that's the right thing to do at that point. But Angel Hernandez, his first starring position in Police Blotter for the, you know, the spring training 2024.
I would love to see his next appearance on the Police Blotter when he gets thrown out and Jen Powell gets brought up in his place.
Wouldn't that be perfect?
That would be
I would love
poetic.
That.
All right, I got some pitching to talk to. Actually, the Red Sox, well, okay, the Red Sox have good and bad news with pitching. I'll start with the good news because I like the good news. While they're in the Dominican Republic, they took advantage of the opportunity to announce Brian Bello, hopefully the new young hot ace of the Red Sox, signing a very team-friendly, in my humble opinion, well, I guess we'll see, six-year, $55 million contract extension. There is a $21 million club option for 2030, and he's a baby. This is just his second year. So this takes him through arbitration years and a couple of his free agency years. It seems to be good for both sides because he's still going to be young at the end of it. And if he does well, then maybe he can make his big bucks after this, or maybe the Red Sox will decide to pay him and keep him. And I'm really hopeful, this is what I said last year, that he's just going to break out. Last year, he did okay. It wasn't like, you know, news-shattering kind of situation, but Pedro Martinez has been working with him both last season and this offseason and has said multiple times, the kid reminds me of me when I was young. Yeah.
That's
so,
something.
You know, that just in the heart of a Red Sox fan, that is music, absolutely. So I'm hoping that it happens this year. Last year, you know, there were signs of it, I think. Brian, the sweet kid, said he was super happy and super grateful to be able to do this here in front of my family and friends, and talked about how meaningful it was, even though he didn't pitch in either game, just to be down in the DR for the Red Sox, seeing his family there, his parents and his partner and their baby. And he was part of the group of Red Sox who went out and played with the kids. And there's this one little social media clip going around with the kids surround him just chanting his name, Bello, Bello. And Bello means literally beautiful. So like to hear the kids, his name being beautiful, it was beautiful in my little heart. So I wish the best for Brian Bello, especially because we are potentially, and you know more about this than I do at this point in time because you're hearing this on Tuesday. We're recording on Sunday. Second opinion comes on Monday for Lucas Giolito, who could be out for the season. The first opinion said it was likely that he has a partially torn UCL and a flexor strain and may need surgery, which would be the end. So that was the, like, Chris Sale for a Lucas Giolito balance that you just made me feel a lot better about, because I was thinking if Sale's doing well and Giolito's out, well, then shit, then I'll be damn dirt depressed. But if they're both equally shitty, even with Sale playing and Giolito not playing, then I feel a little better.
All right. Hey, so something happened this week that distracted people from talking about pants. Now they're talking about armadillos.
Which are much cuter than pants.
Sure they are, except maybe they are when they are, it's related to a new ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah, so the preliminary design for the new Las Vegas ballpark, the new, you know, the Vegas A's ballpark was released this past week. And of course, everyone's picking on it.
Right, because it's stupid.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know that it's stupid.
Okay.
I don't know that it's stupid. I read a piece by the architect explaining the choices, which seem like reasonable choices.
Okay.
I haven't spent a lot of time on it, but I'm like, it could be. But yeah, but if you want to like jump on it right away, there's plenty of reasons to jump on it right away and say, this is stupid.
Yeah.
So it seats 33,000 people. The roof is covered by these panels that the architect refers to as ribbons. They're kind of shaped like baseball pennants, right? But they go over the roof. It's not a retractable roof. And the architect said, they're never going to open the roof. It's Las Vegas. So the thing is,
in the summer,
the thing is, the way retractable roofs work is they have to have so much infrastructure above you.
Yeah.
A, it's super expensive, but B, even when it's retracted, there's all of this stuff above you that makes it, you know, it's still not a pleasant way to let the sun in, mm-hmm. whereas these ribbons, as he calls them, let in natural light. And okay. they're oriented in a way that it was supposed to be a little bit, you know, cooler and whatnot. But the design is very clearly, depending on which way you squint, it's either the Sydney Opera House, which is one of the most beautiful buildings in the world. So I'm okay with that. Or an armadillo. Because you know, because the way these layers kind of overlap each other.
I'd be okay with either of those. Like, sure. Armadillos are cool. Sure.
Sure. And the architect said, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
He said, we're trying for an open look. We want people in there to have a view of the skyline, mm-hmm. have a view out of the Vegas Strip. I mean, we want it to not be this closed off thing. And I think that they did, in fact, hit that. Until we get farther along, we're not gonna know. But it's, you know what, there's nothing they could put out that wasn't gonna get jumped on.
Right. The only thing, and I just saw a flash in the pan, so I'm definitely not qualified to make any sort of opinion. Yet I will right now, because the only thing that I saw was the idea of it being like a magnifying glass for the sun. You know, like because it was so glassy that the sun through the glass would be.
Yeah, his point was that it wouldn't. It was gonna shade things appropriately to keep it. That was their intent.
Cool.
But well, you know, not a scientist. But the architect did say. I mean, it's not like we tried to make it look like an armadillo.
That would be even more impressive if they did. All right, folks, you've heard about him, and here we are going with baseball boyfriends again for the last week of the offseason for our position players. So these are the guys, if you're just joining us for the first time, hi, welcome, and go back to the past, I don't know, I guess it's 29 weeks when we've been,
no
15. Half of that,
15, yes.
We
look
do
at you
two
with
a
them
week.
Now. Yes.
Oh, shit, I'm going to claim that I'm halfway through the second part of the beer. Yeah, so go back and listen, and we've done one guy per team, but AL and NL each week. So this week, we're at the top. We have reached the summit of the mountain, and we are – how does it feel with the Orioles on top?
This is spectacular. So this is based on standings. Mm-hmm. So the two teams talk about today were the highest in the standings, games won versus games lost. Hello, Orioles.
So for the Orioles, there were a lot of really good picks.
There sure were.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the opposite of what's happened to us with the other good teams. So most of the other good teams, we've had very slim pickings because we've already picked all these guys and we can't pick a guy from year to year. However, the Orioles are the fountain of youth and the fountain of bringing guys in and having them start to do well when they weren't doing well before. So power to the Orioles for making that happen. There were lots of guys to choose from. I kind of had to choose Ryan O'Hearn because he plays first base, and I literally only have one other first base person on my fantasy league. So I need a good first base person. And I understand that he is going to be platooning. That sounds weird. Platooning. Okay.
You'll get there.
He's going to be platooning.
I like watching you work that out. It's pretty.
He won't be on first base every day, but you know, when he's there, it's going to be good. And I think he's going to be playing a lot because I think he'll either be on first or DHing. So I am also lucky that he seems to be a good guy. And I did a really, really deep dive on his Twitter. There were a couple that made me kind of go, but it wasn't enough to make me reconsider that, damn it, I need a first baseman. So he was drafted out of college in the 8th round by the Royals in 2014. His debut in the major league was July 31st, 2018 against the White Sox. And the family made it in time. You know, the news went out. Sister, brother, and parents all came into Chicago. They got first row behind the dugout, and he did not disappoint. He hit a 2-run home run on his second at-bat against James Shield. So, you know, no slouch there. He was the third Royal ever to homer in his debut and had a very solid season afterwards. However, after that, everything just took a dip. And I'm not exactly sure why. What was the cause of it and whether it was just a spiral once he got in a bad funk. But between 2019 and 2022, Fangraphs said that he was the second worst position player in WAR. He did spend a good chunk of time at AAA in 21 trying to make things right. Didn't work out right, and he was DFA'd at the end of the 22 season. Outrighted, right, but not picked up elsewhere, so was then traded to the O's in January 23 for cash. And the O's sent him to their AAA, where he absolutely fucking raked. 354, average, 1.133 OPS in his 48 at-bats that he had there before they brought him up April 13th, and had 3 RBI in his debut. So the O's are working magic with him. He had a huge jump in productivity with the O's from 2022, which was his shitty season, one of his shitty seasons, 2.39 average, 6.11 OPS. 2023, 2.89 average, 8.02 OPS. And he gives a lot of props to the hitting coaches because he was hitting hard before then, but they worked with him on his posture and his swing decisions. Also, he got a big boost because of the ban on the shift. His previous couple of years there, he basically they learned to shift on him. 75% of his at-bats had the other team shifting. So between the shifting and the coaching, he ended up doing much better. He is, or was with the Orioles, an absolute clutch hitter also. So he had that 802 OPS overall. With runners in scoring position, it goes up to 891. In one-run games, 837. But in late-game close situations, you know, like tied up in the ninth inning, 950. He's originally from Texas, but his family is mainly in Milwaukee. His dad is one of 7 siblings and the only one who moved away, which means when he is at the Brewers, his family is at the Brewers. Like a huge section of the crowd is going to be a bunch of O'Hearns. It's going to be all the aunts and uncles and cousins' kid. They all turn out from it. His dad actually used to sell beer at the Brewers Stadium. So talk about like a away yet home kind of advantage for him. He's a good guy. I was trying to figure out more of this, but I saw one thing when I was doing that deep dive on his social media, that he was a Strikes and Scholarships VIP of an organization called Keeper of the Game in January of 23. And Keeper of the Game is a nonprofit that serves kids and young adults with special needs and disabilities in and around baseball. And they have a fundraising event every year. Strikes and Scholarships is a bowling thing. So he was there with a couple of other good guys. Bobby Witt Jr., your former pick. And Hunter Dozier, did you pick him too?
Yeah.
I think you did. So definitely, I'm going into a good crowd here. But way back, even beyond that, I found a post back in 2018 of him hanging out with a special needs kid on the baseball field and tagging the organization. So it seems like it wasn't just a one-shot thing, but I couldn't find a lot more information on that. I did watch an interview of him with one of those kid reporters that they do, which are adorable. And at first he said that he was asked about his favorite baseball movie, and he said Bull Durham. And I was like, points. And then he noticed, I think, that he was talking to a little kid, and he was like, oh, and he started to talk about bench warmers, which I don't know anything about. But he talked about that a lot, I think, to distract the kid from trying to watch Bull Durham. I do question his nickname. Have you heard this? Bro Hearn?
No.
Yeah, it's a little fratty sounding to me. You know, you're my bro, Hearn, but
they are the baby birds.
Yeah.
Well, he's not really a baby bird, but they probably got nicknamed by the baby birds.
There you go. He can chirp with the best of them, even though he's an old guy. Last thing, a good quotation of his that I admired when talking about, and, you know, actually I put this in for you because it's nice things about the Orioles, and I'm going to sign off with that. Everyone here is awesome. Patty in the stands? No, it doesn't. Everyone here is awesome. Coaches, the people who work in this building, obviously my teammates. I enjoy coming to work every day, showing up here. This is in spring training and in Baltimore as well. So
yay.
There you go. Cheers to your O's.
Cheers to the O's and cheers to Ryan O'Hearn. He's a good player. Mm. He's fun to watch. This is the week where I have my once and forever boyfriend.
Yay.
Yeah, it's Adley again, folks. Surprising no one. We carry over one guy. We are allowed to carry over one guy from year to year. So this is my second carryover of Adley. So he's my, you know, permanent until something changes boyfriend. I would like to say forever boyfriend for Adley. But there's a lot of competition for my love with the Orioles because the baby birds are so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Jackson Holliday today had his first home run in spring training. It was a grand slam.
Wow.
You know, we'll talk about him more when we do our predictions because I will be talking about him when we do our predictions. Gunnar Henderson, I'm such a fan. Silent J. I mean, there's so many guys that are really fun to watch, you know, see condiments above. But you know what? I'm not going for flash. I'm going for steady. I'm going for like the heart of the team. And so I'm sticking with Adley Rutschman, catcher. He's 26 years old. I'm just going to give you a quick little update since last we spoke about Adley. If you remember, he started last season on opening day going 5 for 5. Because, you know, Hello, I'm here. At the Home Run Derby, he got knocked out in the first round, but he also did his little switch hitting show. You know, he hit 21 home runs from the left and then turned around and hit 6 more from the right.
That's so cool.
He won a Silver Slugger last year.
That's crazy.
He finished the season hitting .277 with 20 home runs. So, yay, this is a solid, solid season. What I'm really going to talk about are babies and hugs.
Oh.
Because I wanted you to make that noise.
There we go.
It worked. So it worked.
Sweet. Cheers.
Perfectly.
That's adorable.
I'm a big fan of baseball names for no reason that I'm going to mention here. But let's just say that the first baby born at Glen Burnie University of Maryland, Baltimore, Washington Medical Center this year in January was named Adley Michelle Jobst. And so the O's sent the bird over to meet the baby.
Wow.
And brought a, you know, a ball autographed
the actual
by
bird.
The other Adley. So you know, cool. I think the brand new newly born Adley slept through the whole interaction, but the parents were very excited. And when parents talk about naming their kids Adley, it's not just, hey, isn't he like a fun hitter, good hitter, he's a great catcher. They say things like this. They say, not only is he a great ball player, but I think he's also a great human being who's really given kids they really think they want to play in the major someday, somebody to look up to.
Oh.
Right? They see him as a role model. So they're kind of naming their kids because of the role model,
yeah.
Because of like the good character and all that. And also because he's so much fun to watch and he brought a lot of hope to the Orioles. Trevor Adley was born last July while an O's
so
game was on TV in the room where Trevor Adley was delivered. They made a choice to not name him Adley Gunner, but that came up. In another July birth,
wow.
The mother had she had a C-section, so she was actually knocked all the way out, which surprised me. But woke up to an O's game being played, and Adley had just hit a home run, and Grayson Rodriguez was pitching that game. So that is Grayson Adley.
Oh, it has a ring to it.
And they said, we love his character and how much he's transformed the team. So this they did a deeper dive on people who have been named after other Orioles, and so they met this guy Calvin. Of course, named after Cal, who's engaged to be married and said, oh, yeah, first choice for a child is Adley.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Adley's known for his hugs.
Yeah.
Hugging the catcher. You know, first, like, at the end of every inning, you know, like, you're just, like, doing a fist bump or something or, like, you know, just but meeting the catcher, meeting the pitcher at the foul line. But at the end of the game, there's always a hug unless the pitcher says, I do not want that. And no pitchers ever say that because apparently his hugs are spectacular. I read an article where they actually interviewed the woman who is, she is an expert on hugging. She is the, she directs the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine's Touch Research Institute.
Wow.
And says he puts his whole body into it. He's tall enough to really embrace a lot of the other person's body. He does it very joyfully. He's emotionally invested. So there. So we've got hugs, babies, and a Silver Slugger just to catch you up from last year. So yay, Adley Rutschman, my once and forever boyfriend. Go O's.
So he gets an A+ in hugging, huh? You know, I have the couple of things. I have this image of him, just especially from the very start of when he goes up and he puts his arm around the pitcher. And he just looks so comfortable and natural doing it. Even when he was like just starting out, to be able to have that kind of confidence and the ability to like calm down a pitcher, you know, mm-hmm. get them refocused. I just think that that's a super.
There was a quick little interview with Kyle Gibson, who said, like, sometimes if he has a bad inning, he doesn't, like, he just needs to be in his own zone. Mm. And so Adley had checked with him before the season started and said, this is what I do. I won't do. I won't meet you at the foul line if you don't want me to.
Yeah.
And Kyle told him, he said, you be you. But if I'm in a bad place, I may walk by you, but we can talk about it later. But go. Don't change what you're doing. But just understand if I'm doing something different, that's on me. That's not you. And I just love that kind of communication.
Yeah, Man, that's amazing. That's such a good model. Like, communication can solve a lot of issues.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought of was, I think he should do like a Swayman and the two goalies from the Bruins when they go like do a big outreach and then the hug. Like, maybe he
don't
could do
you
a little...
mess with Adley hugs. Right. Adley hugs are perfect. There's an expert who says they're perfect the way they are. Don't mess with that.
Okay.
Don't mess with perfection.
All right. Absolutely. All right. On that note, we will go down to Atlanta,
where we've got almost no one to pick from.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even look at the rest of the field.
Well, that's good, because there's like almost nobody that we haven't already picked in the starting lineup, or even on the 40-man.
All right. Well, I was just making repentance with my pick. Is that right? Pentance?
Penance?
I was repenting.
You were either repenting or you're making penance.
Yes, both of those things. I was trying to do for my pick last year. Although, yeah, I don't know how I feel, but my pick last year was Vaughn Grissom, who I've kept as my forever boyfriend for the time being, who's now with the Red Sox, who's now injured. And so I really haven't gotten a good idea of how Vaughn Grissom's going to do. But at this time last year, he looked like the shoe-in for shortstop for the Atlanta team. Arcia was there. He had been there for several years, had not been doing stellar. Grissom was this like up and coming highest ranked prospect for them, and it looked like a no brainer. However, Arcia pulled through, and man, he not only pulled through, but then he had a career year. So I feel like, oops, like, and this, the whole thing was coming around the Dansby Swanson replacement. So the spot was open for somebody to win. And he won it. And apparently in spring training last year, he really won it with his glove. But then he proved that he belonged. And even before the season started, they locked him down with a three-year, not too locked, but, you know, a little bit of a combination lock there. Three-year contract extension for $7.3 million. And if it works out well, he might get more than that afterwards. So then, of course, I do my little Google the guy with the word scandal to make sure there's nothing terrible about him, because I knew I had to go back to Arcia to repent for my last year's thing. And what came up then, but unfortunately, was pretty much the only thing that came up. People are fixated on this situation that happened last year in the NLDS, the Attaboy Harper scandal. So this is when, so the funny thing about this, there's so many funny things about this, but I clearly remember that time that we got those awesome seats at Knott's Park when we got brought down because we were being exuberant up in the 400. Mm. Somebody saw us and gifted us these tickets, this magic person. And there was a guy like a couple rows ahead of us who kept saying, "Attaboy, Hopper."
No. Oh, he was, "Come on, Hopper." Yeah. He was, "Come on, Hopper." The Attaboy was years later. Yeah.
Was this Attaboy? You mean?
Yeah, this Attaboy was. Yeah, but many years. Come on, Hopper.
But I just melded in my brain because I could hear that guy's voice going, "Attaboy, Hopper."
I forget that guy's voice. Yeah. He sounds exactly like me.
when I say,
"Come on, Hopper."
Yeah, that was pretty much it. So Attaboy is just a couple steps away. However, I don't think that Arcia, well, it's possible that Arcia didn't even say it, but he definitely didn't say it that way. What happened was Harper made a stupid base running error. He like overshot first, he got doubled up, tagged out. And apparently in the clubhouse afterwards, when the Atlanta team was celebrating their victory, maybe Arcia said, "Attaboy, haha, Attaboy Harper." Like, that's the quote that I see, which honestly is pretty fucking innocuous. Like, it's not that bad.
And it was in the clubhouse. Right. He did not say it in front of anybody other than his teammates, except for whoever heard that.
Right. So actually there was... So I usually when we're running on beer, the reason why I'm laughing right now is usually when we're running on beer, I call out for tech support. However, I was too busy talking about Attaboy Hapa.
I called for tech support.
And Patty just called for tech support. Tech support came with a backup beer, which is just lovely. So Arcia says this in the clubhouse. One reporter picks it up and it spreads like wildfire. And basically what I think happened is Phillies know Harper and how he's going to react. And so they told his teammates told him to hype him up. And he did what he does, which is get two home runs in the next game. And they won the fucking series.
Remember when everybody used to yell underrated to him? That always got you a home run.
Yep.
For sure. Absolutely.
So who knows? And then there are people saying that You know, Arcia does not speak in English often, and especially when he's surrounded his lockers, like, in the middle of all these Spanish-speaking players, and the chances of him saying attaboy is really
that's like a stretch, doesn't it?
Kind of slim, although there's a bazillion videos of him defending it, and then Darnaud, the catcher, saying, well, what are they doing quoting out of our clubhouse anyway? And it just got blown up so huge that it was really hard for me to find any other things about Arcia besides links to this fucking incident that
happened. And to the t-shirt. And to the Attaboy Harper t-shirt.
Yeah, right.
Which I still might kind of want.
That's it's pretty good. And, you know, of course, you know, Philly got the last laugh. They won the series and then didn't win the next series. So Arcia, what I did find out about him is he is from a baseball family or an athletic family that I want to know more about. His older brother, Oswaldo and Orlando, that's a tough one, 32 years old, was in Major League Baseball for 6 years, I think. He was with the Twins for a bunch of years, and then he bounced around a lot, ended up with Arizona his final year. And when Orlando made it up, they became the fifth set of Venezuelan brothers in MLB, because there's a stat for everything. But even though they talked about how when they were growing up, they never got to play together because the age difference was too much, They get to play together, and they have been playing together for many years in the Venezuelan League. They, for the past 2 years, they played together on the Leones de Caracas. And last season, not this season, but last season, I believe they won it all. I'm going to lie with exact figures and say that that's true. And then before then, I always like look for excuses to say this. They played for 4 years for the Caribes de Anzoátegui.
Oh, bless you.
Yes. And actually, the town that they're from, Anaco, Venezuela, is in the province of Anzoátegui. So I get to say it one more time. I also just found, when I was looking at all these articles about them playing together, that a little vocabulary lesson, because once in a while I like to teach baseball Spanish words. This week's word of the week is torpedero, which is another word for shortstop, but it literally means torpedo boat. So like a torpedo thrower.
Torpedero.
Yeah.
What was the other word for shortstop?
Campo corto.
Campo corto.
Which just means short field.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Torpedero. So torpedero is kind of clear, a little bit cooler. Torpedero. Also, I like it when young guys make good decisions. He chose, and yeah, he's still pretty young, 29 years old. We're going to call that young. He chose to wear the ear flap helmet, although not very popular in Venezuela last season, and it did well because he got hit, and it probably saved him from something very bad happening.
I hope that wasn't a target.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Just checking.
I don't think so. I think it was just like, it could have been a lot worse had the ear flap not been there. But the family genes, it looks like, come from mom. And there was one article with one line that said that his mom was the captain of the Venezuelan national softball team. And then I saw another video interview where he talked about his mom being the one to take him to all of his practices and his games. So it seems like this comes from mom, but I could not find anything else about mom in my spare time. I would keep investigating mom. If anybody out there knows anything about Arcia's mom, please let me know, because I find that fascinating. He is still very connected with family and friends in Venezuela and supporting Venezuelan kids playing. And when I was looking at this, a lot of the Venezuelan players do this, send back money. It's Jose Altuve had bought like a whole bunch of bats and balls and equipment for Venezuelan Little League. Arcia paid $10,000 for the Venezuelan Little League to go to the Latin American Championship in Mexico. So he first signed with the Brewers in 2010, made the Futures game in 2015, and debuted August of 2016, had a great year in 2017, and then I think I have a theme here, and then kind of didn't do as well as expected for many years with the Brewers, and was traded to Atlanta in April of 21, and then last year when he shone at spring training, made the team, 23 was an all-star year. So just, you know, comparatively amazing. And they made the right choice. It shows that the Atlanta staff made the right choice. He had a career high in OPS, home runs, and RBI. He is buddies with my other previous baseball boyfriend pick from Atlanta, Ozzy Albies. And they make a little cute little infield there together, second and short. And they had a little like mock talk show thing on YouTube, and it was called the OA, and they have the same initials, OA.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, isn't that cute? So it's the OA infield, And Ozzy said, there's not an inning when we're not talking or goofing around, and that is what I like. His wife seems beautiful and amazing. She is, I think, U.S.-born but Dominican ancestry. Recently got her bachelor's in psychology, and they have two adorable twins, Mia and Isabella, who were born on September 8th, along with another. My kid was born September 8th, but they were born in 2019. And I just talked about last week of somebody debuting on September 8th, so more of this cosmic number stuff. He actually left the game in the middle of the third inning to get to the hospital and made it just on time and saw his kids be born and got to take the paternity leave afterwards. He's on Instagram. He says, no Facebook, no Twitter. So find his adorable, they're so cute, the twins. Find them on his Instagram.
Very nice. So yes, I did look at the roster saying, nope, I picked him. I picked him. You picked him. You picked him. I don't want to pick him. As I said earlier today, I watched that spring training game yesterday. And one of the guys who caught my eye was Eli White, as he goes by, who's not on the 40-man roster, but he did get an invite to spring training. All right. So there's a possibility he may make the roster. He's now a center fielder, came up as a shortstop, now a center fielder. He's 29 years old. So the game yesterday, he had a two-hit game. He had a double, he had a single, he scored a run, he had a really good game. Okay. So this was fun. It's fun to watch him. And we haven't picked him yet. So there you go. So he's from Greenville, South Carolina. And the number three is going to come up a lot. And please don't make a numerology thing. I know you are. I know you will.
I'm going to go play Powerball right after the show.
As a high school player, he was like the all-area baseball player of the year in 2013. And as such, was drafted by the Reds in the 26th round. But he said, I'm going to go to Clemson. I committed to Clemson as a junior in high school. I'm going to Clemson. Wow. I need to play more. I need to play some college ball. He was a draft eligible sophomore, which I did not really look up to see how that can happen. How are you're eligible for the draft when you are a sophomore in college? But in 2015, Pittsburgh tried to pick him up, but in the 37th round, which is not good. So he's like, no. I like playing for Clemson. I'm going to do that more and longer, and we're going to see what happens. And the next year in 2016, he helped Clemson go to the ACC championship. He started all 64 games. He hit .272. He had 30 runs batted in, and he had the team leading 24 steals. So he had a really good junior year, and the Oakland A's noticed, and they drafted him in the 11th round, which was like 800 players better than the previous year. So that's very, very good. In 2018, the A's traded him to the Rangers in the Jerkson Profar trade. So that's how he ended up being a Ranger for a while. But he's still, playing in the minors all this time. And then in 2020, with the shutdown of the minor leagues, he was not on a 40-man roster. So he's one of those guys that just gets sent home. You know, no pay, no support, no here's how we're going to, like, keep you in training. Because no one knew what to do, right? And so these guys just got sent away. So he went back to Greenville. But Greenville is the home of The Drive, which is a Red Sox affiliate. And that ballpark was going unused because of the minor league shutdown. And so a bunch of guys who were affiliated with major league teams just started practicing there. So there were maybe 7 or 8 guys that were in the minors and a couple that were in the majors. They're like, okay, we can't do anything else. And so the ballpark, they got permission to actually use a real ballpark to practice on their own. But again, it was on their own. They didn't have any like training plan that was given to them by their various franchises or anything. And he was really feeling down about it. Why wouldn't you, right? It's like, you don't have a job. Yeah. You think you have this career coming and you've been paying your dues in the minor leagues and now there's no minor leagues. What's going to happen? And then the Rangers said, come on back with us, so like the whole taxi squad, the summer camp, all those things, all of a sudden he was included again. He really didn't think that was going to happen because he hadn't been on the 40-man roster when he got sent home. And the next thing you know, September 1st, 2020, he gets his debut versus Houston. So going from my career may be over to, yay, I've got my debut happening. So in 2021, the next season, he had the fastest sprint speed of all major league left fielders, 30.5 feet per second, which was pretty cool. In June of that year, he had a 2-run game versus Houston where he had debuted, and he said, it was a dream come true to get my first home run in the big leagues. And then it was pretty cool to hit my second one in the same game. I'm just thankful to have this opportunity to play baseball at this level. He was the second player in the Rangers franchise to have his first and second career home runs in the same game. The first one was Carlos Peña.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was 2001 versus the A's, right? And there sometimes there's a worry about how are you going to get your first home run ball back. He didn't have that worry because an Astros fan caught it, just threw it back on the field.
Oh, nice.
So
that's good when they do that.
That worked out just fine for him. At the end of 2022, end of December, actually, he went from the Rangers to Atlanta for cash, but he only played six games for Atlanta in 2023 because he then he tore his labrum, right? I think he actually dislocated his shoulder. It kind of like got back. It was bad. Okay. So that was in 2023. So he was out for that season. And then it's so in July, they DFA'd him, right? And then a few days later, they re-signed him to a minor league contract. The problem with that is that they could have put him on the 60-day IL, but they didn't. They said, oh, we want to free up this roster spot. But by basically throwing him off the team and hiring him back, they didn't have to pay him his major league salary, and he did not get service time. If you're on the IL, you get whatever your salary is.
That is super shitty.
And you get your service time. The thing that was even worse for him personally, this was not the Atlanta team's fault. This was his third consecutive season where his season was cut short because of injury.
Damn.
Three seasons in a row. In 2021, he had a UCL situation. 2022, he fractured his wrist. And then, you know, he had this shoulder situation in 23. And so he's always being asked, does that change how you play? Are you more careful? Are you less likely to like lay out for a catch in the outfield and all of this thing? That's actually an important point here. Is he came up as a shortstop in college.
Wow.
And then in 2020, they started moving him to the outfield. So it changes how you play. So I don't know if that has anything to do with these injuries. But he said, I was taught from high school and early on playing, as cliche as it sounds, play the game. It could be your last game. So he does put it all out on the field every time. So like I said, he got an invitation to spring training. Not on the roster yet. They have two bench spots they're going to try to fill with these other folks that they have invited to spring training. And he's one of these guys competing for these, you know, for one of these two bench spots. And, you know, Brian Snicker, the manager of the Atlanta team, said you'd just like to see him have a full year of health and see what he can do, right?
Yeah.
I found a quote from his high school coach, which made me laugh because we usually don't talk about how these guys played when they were wee small children.
Right.
His high school coach said, Eli was always somebody. When Eli came to us as a seventh grader.
In high school.
Well, as his coach said. Came to us as a seventh grader. You could tell he had a lot of ability. He just took his ability and just absolutely exploded with it.
Oh.
Not just a good baseball player, but a good person that deserves all this he's getting. He knows where his roots are. He's the type of kid you always want to come back and be around your team because he's just such a good influence. So yay. So that's a boyfriend thing right there.
Very good.
He likes playing the game, he plays hard, and he's somebody with good character that other players can look up to, even though he's still struggling. He has not really like made it yet, right?
Yeah.
He keeps getting close and then bad things happen, but he keeps coming back. Right? And it's maybe Charlie Brown with the football, I don't know, but he does keep coming back, and that's pretty impressive. That's it for our guys from each team. Next week, we're going to tell you about our flocks of pitchers, because one of our stupid rules for the fantasy team is we have to pick all of our pitchers from the same team. They all have to be on the same team.
Yep.
Because we just like to up that degree of difficulty.
Yeah. And you've claimed yours. Yeah.
I think so.
All right.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
We will see how this goes. And if you want to join us on the fantasy team, you will find contact information at the end of the show. Right now, quick international update. I said I was done with winter baseball, but not quite. I'm going to just give a little update on a big kerfuffle that I talked about in Venezuela at the end of the winter season, where my baseball boyfriend pick from the Royals, Michael Garcia, had been a little exuberant in his bat flip, and all hell broke loose between the Tiburones and the Cardenales in the finals. And so it turns out that the punishments have come out. Seven Sharks and six Cardinals have been penalized. The manager of the Cardinals, Cardenales, Henry Blanco, was penalized two games and $200. You know, I know that the Venezuelan economy has taken a hit, but these penalties make me go, huh. So the other four Cardinals, wait, that's how many Cardinals can I count? There should be six total Cardinals. So there are four Cardinals pitchers and the coach. That's five plus one. That equals six. They were all penalized four games and $400, and all seven Tiburones, that's the Sharks, including Michael Garcia and Yasiel Puig, who and his agent had claimed that he was very innocent and he got sucker punched. They all got fined $400 and four games, which I think Puig can afford. And four games is not, it's a pretty slap on the wrist.
Do we have any idea what their salaries are?
I do not. That's a really good question.
I wonder what that is like percentage wise, you know, when we compare it to, you know, thousands of dollars in fines for this major league player who gets millions of dollars a year in salary. Right. So I wonder.
Right. Yeah. $400. So that's the end of that. But go back to off-season recordings. I don't know. It's in there somewhere where we talked about the fun that happened that day. The last international update I have for today is the Serie del Caribe is going to continue. This is a Caribbean series that we talked a lot about the end of Winter League when all the winners of all the different countries come together with the Serie del Caribe that happened in Miami this year. Gonna be a kids version at the end of this month. And they literally call it Serie del Caribe Kids. So it's going to be March 25th.
I can pronounce that and everything.
Yeah. There you go. It's going to be March 25th to 30th in Panama. And it will include Venezuela, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Nicaragua, Panama, and La República Dominicana. Kids ages, depending on which article you read, 11 to 12 or 12 to 13, but around there. And when it happens, hopefully I'll have more info on it. They're going to come up with a big press release the night before on the 24th. So I'll check that out.
Major League Baseball is also going to let the kids play.
Yay!
This year, they're starting something new as part of spring training. Instead of having to wait for the Futures game to see one game where, you know, a handful of prospects get to show their stuff, they're doing the Spring Breakout, March 14th through 17th, where every team, every franchise, will field a team of their prospects.
Oh, that's so cool.
And those teams will play each other. There will be 16, it's a 16-game showcase. A couple teams play twice because of the uneven numbers. Okay. In there, you know, because it'll be like the Grapefruit League playing each other and the Cactus League playing each other in the spring training facilities, right? A lot of these games are going to be part of a doubleheader attached to a regular spring training game. So the prospects will play a 7-inning game and then you'll see the spring training game. In some cases, when they're not associated with a regularly scheduled spring training game, they can play 9 innings if both teams agree. Because, you know, do you want to play that long? Do you want to risk that? Whatever. There will be no extra innings, so things can end in a tie if they need to. They're really just showcases. Like, you can see all the new guys.
So cool.
At one time, which is cool. It will be broadcast on MLB TV and the excellent regional sports networks and all the things. You can find the schedules and how to watch on MLB's website. I'm excited. Yes, it's personal to me, but also it's kind of a big deal because on the first day, Thursday night, the game between Baltimore and Pittsburgh pits the number one draft pick from 2022, Jackson Holliday, versus the 2023 number one draft pick, Paul Skaines, against each other. So that's kind of a big deal. And those teams are each sending like five of their top three, like the biggest number of highest rated prospects. So they're showing you their guys, right? They are loading their team. So that should be a fun one to watch.
And Paul Skaines, wasn't he one of the LSU guys?
Yes, he was.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah, there you go.
Check us out.
So check your schedules and watch some of the spring breakouts. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. All right. And if you are a gamer sort, and you do MLB The Show, which I do not, so I'm going to sound a little bit like an idiot here. But MLB The Show 24, apparently they come out with a new MLB The Show. This is the video game thing.
Yep.
There's going to be women on it, which is so cool for so many reasons. You know, it's the if you see it, you can be it kind of situation. So apparently the MLB The Show has a road to the show mode when you're looking at people, you know, players. Prospects. Yeah, that's the word. Mm-hmm. That's the word. And they now have a road to the show. Women pave the way. It's going to have the same features of the existing road to the show mode. Plus, and I quote, a unique path about breaking barriers in baseball. And one thing that was interesting, there was a little clip that I hope I put in the show notes that has two people quoted. One is the woman who designed this, and the other is Kelsey Whitmore, you know, who plays in Staten Island. And apparently because of what Kelsey said and other women players, they're including a buddy character because Kelsey and others talked about the importance of having a supporter to make it in baseball. And so there's literally going to be a friend character who goes with your player to, like, make it to the show. This is going to be available starting on March 19th. So if any of you are gamers out there and you play it, please report back to the class because I'm not going to see. I'm not
as excited as I am for this, yeah. I'm still not going to play it because I just don't do that kind of thing. But I'm happy that that is an option out there. So yay. Yay. Good going. Baby steps. We will take it. We will take it. So again, next week we're talking about pitchers. This week I'm going to watch some spring breakout games. Do you have stuff going on this week?
Nothing in particular. I was really excited to watch. I saw yesterday's Red Sox-Tampa game and a little bit of today, so I think I need to squeeze in somehow more watching baseball.
It's the right thing to do.
Plus, the hockey and the basketball is very
happy. You got a lot going on right now. You sure do. You're all the sports all the time. That's pretty fun. Look at you with the cross-training. Yes, indeed. Hey, if you're interested in playing our fantasy team and our fantasy league, start making up your rosters right now. Make sure you let us know you want in so we can have a team ready for you to drop in your rosters. Get a hold of us. What are some ways people can get a hold of us, Potty Mouth?
So you can find us in either the Dark Evil Twitter X thing or the Happy Blue Sky at NCIB Podcast, Facebook. No. And yeah, no, that's right. NCIB Podcast. Why do I do this at the end of the show? Facebook and Instagram are No Crying Beeball. I swear to God. You can also throw us a little bit of money. We would so much appreciate it. Our Patreon is a really lovely community of people, and you get little extra bonus episodes. Very, very short. Easy to process, and other things that, you know, we're open to suggestions. That's Patreon, patreon.com/nocryingandbeball.
That's it.
That's right.
Excellent. Ooh. Well done. Yep. Please find us. You can send us your corrections. You can send us your ideas. If you have some pitching favorites that you want to like try to influence our decisions, you should feel free to do that. Also, in about 2 weeks, we're going to do predictions. So if you have ideas for the major awards and the standings for this coming season, and you want to share those with us and you think you can influence us, good luck with that. But please reach out to us in any of the ways that Potty Mouth just told you. In the meantime, get your booster, fight the man. It's the right thing to do. Send your game balls or your uniforms to Meredith. And until next week, say goodnight, Potty Mouth.
Good night, Potty Mouth.
You've had like 4 sips.
Right. 5, 6. It'll add up. All right, cheers.
I'm feeling peer pressure.
No need to guzzle. We don't have like.
I'm highly competitive.
The podcast funnel.
The podcast.
What else? We could get a quarter in here.
Our little home run celebration of our very own.